Well, this morning is I get the privilege, the honor of speaking on this Mother's Day. You know, it was on Mother's Day 9 years ago that I was voted by the membership of this congregation to become the senior pastor of Terrace Pentecostal Assembly. And so I think that in some way it's fitting that today will be my last opportunity to preach as the senior pastor of Terrace Pentecostal Assemblies as well. I've been preaching on Mother's Day frequently over the last 15 and a half years, but of the last 9 years as senior pastor, seven times I've had this privilege of speaking on Mother's Day services. We've taken some time to honor some special women in our service on this Mother's Day, and in doing so, I believe that we follow the invitation of Proverbs chapter 31 to rise up and call her blessed. But Mother's Day raises mixed emotions in people because there are many women, for one reason or another, are not, cannot, or will not be mothers, and some men and women who do not have good memories of their own mother. And so for some, Mother's Day brings up painful memories associated with their own mother or their own children. I think that the word that came this morning, a word of exhortation, was fitting. We need to look to the cross of Christ, and that's where we lay our burdens and our needs, and prayers and petitions. You know, I've read that there are some women who refuse to go to church on Mother's Day because the experience is so painful for them. I certainly do not want to inflict pain on any woman here this morning by being insensitive to the reality that Mother's Day is not a positive thing for everyone. Nor do I want to miss the opportunity to honor the women among us who are mothers. So I'm going to go out on a limb here this morning and suggest that there is common ground here upon which we can all comfortably stand. And it's this: you were carried in the womb of a woman and were born. Therefore, you have a mother. A woman in your life that you can honor simply because she carried you for a time, thus giving you the life that you are living and enjoying today. There are a few things that I would like to bring to your attention in regards to your mother that may help you honor her today. I don't want to be insensitive when I say this, but I believe it's true this morning as we look to the Word. Mother's Day is not about you. I can say that to every person in this room. Mother's Day is not about you. Primarily, ultimately, Mother's Day is about God. Secondarily, Mother's Day is about your mother. And thirdly, it's about you. And so we're going to look in order of priority, that priority, at a few things this morning. The first thing that I want to bring to your attention today is that you did not have a choice in who your mother would be. I'm sure that you may have wished that you had a choice at some point or another, but the choice was not yours to make. She was selected by God, the creator and the sustainer of life, to be the giver and incubator of your life. Your DNA was the first gift that she gave you as God knit you together in her womb to be who you are. God chose her for the raw data that she contained within her to make you who you are. You know, there's no one on the planet that has DNA quite like yours. Which means that in order for God to create you the way that you are, he needed a very specific combination of DNA that could only be found in your father and mother. I don't believe that God makes mistakes. So you are who you are on purpose by His great design. The Bible tells us in Psalms that God knew you before you were born. He created you to be who you are in order to bear His image and bring glory to Him. Imago Dei, the image of God, is the fingerprint of God found on every human being. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And for some of us, we're freeing up time for God because He has to count less. And He has plans and purposes for your life. You were made to glorify Him. Reproduction is a miracle in itself. But to compound that miracle is the reality that God brought together two unique people out of billions in order to create you to be who you are, which is who He intended you to be. I started doing the math, and then I quit. The number of possibilities that there would be, given the number of men and women on the planet, the number of combinations that are out there, it's a billion by a billion in order to come up with you. Now, you're one in billions. But in order for you to be who you are, God had to select a very special person who is your mother. So you can honor your mother today because the God of the universe, in all of His wisdom, in all of His sovereignty, chose her to be the one to give you life. God saw something special in her. He saw in her what was necessary to create you. Now, I know that you know this already. And so this is really a reminder to you today. The second thing that I want to highlight today is that your mother was made in the image of God. That's not to say that she was perfect. The only perfect woman to ever walk the face of the planet was the first one, Eve, the mother of all humanity. And she didn't stay perfect for long. Every one of the descendants of Adam and Eve would then also bear the image of God who created them, though that image would now be marred by sin and death. It is still the image of God. The Word says that God is spirit. It also affirms that your mother had a spirit. That's a part of her that would live on eternally. And in that way, she was made in the image of God, designed by God. I love my mom. I took some time on Facebook this morning to let her know that. I hope that you remember to do that today. But my mom is broken, just like the rest of us. But she is entirely unique. I don't know how much of a person's spirit is passed on like DNA. But I've been told that my spirit has some similarities to my mother's spirit by people who know both of us well. They would say things like, "You have a very similar spirit." I don't know how you can really tell that. But I've had people say that to me. "You're a lot like your mom that way. Similar giftings, similar disposition, that which is not just attributed to personality or physical appearance, but something deeper than that that is like my mom." it's difficult to divide a person up into body, mind, and spirit. They don't categorize very easily. We were created to be a seamless union of the three. So I would venture to say that I have some of my mom's spiritual DNA. I think that that's going to be one of the questions that I have for God when I get to heaven, is how much of that was passed on. The point is this: you can honor your mother today simply because she was created in the image of God. And in doing so, you honor her and you honor God and glorify Him. You can further honor God by recognizing those characteristics in Scripture that every woman is called by His name, that is called by His name, should strive to attain. All believers are called to love, patience, goodness, gentleness, long-suffering, self-control. All of these things every believer is called to. However, women are called to some specific character traits that reflect the nature of God in a way that is not easily seen in a man. And more specifically, mothers can reveal some facets of God's character in especially unique ways. Think about a diamond for a moment. When you find a diamond in the raw, uncut, just right out of the earth, it kind of looks like a lump of glass. It doesn't look like a whole lot. But when you take that chunk of glass and put it in the hands of an expert, a diamond can be cut into a beautiful gem. And when you shine a light through a diamond, it will reflect and refract the light differently depending on the type of cut that it has. I don't know the names of the different types of cuts of diamonds. I just know the one that looks like that. But apparently there's many kinds of cut of diamond. Think of it this way. God's children are kind of like diamonds. And each one is cut a little differently, reflecting the expert craftsmanship of the Creator. Some cuts of diamonds would be man. That's a cut of a diamond. Or father. Or husband. There's also the cuts of diamond that are woman, wife, mother. There's many other cuts of diamond that God shapes us into, but each one, when He shines His light through that diamond, will display a different aspect, a different character trait of who He is. Have you ever looked at a prism? Remember back to grade something or other? Science? Class? Yeah, I took it when it was called science. It's called something else now. When you would shine the light through the prism and it breaks out into its various colors, it goes in white and it comes out Roy G. Biv. That's how I remembered it. Comes out in all these colors. When God shines His light through you, however you have been cut as His diamond, you are going to reflect a different pattern that gives us insight into God's character because we are created by Him and bear His image and designed to allow His light to shine through us. Let's look at some instructions from God's Word of how women show various facets of God's character through their own. Now, we could do a number of character studies on women today, but my aim is to be done in the next 10 minutes so you can go early for lunch. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 says, "It's not good for man to be alone, and so I will make a suitable helper for him." Now, this is more inferred than directly instructed. It's words that God specifically said regarding the role of woman. Woman was created for companionship, so that Adam would not be alone, and for to be a suitable helper, revealing that God values companionship, fellowship, and to be a helper. In fact, one of the words describing the Spirit of God in the Bible is paraclete, which means the one who comes alongside, the helper, the companion, counselor, friend. And so when God created woman to be a companion and helper, he was fashioning woman in his own image, because the Spirit of God is called companion and helper. And so when we look at women, they show this better than men because of the way that they're cut as a diamond. We can catch glimpses of God's character by the way that women are companions and helpers, just the way that God is. Watch the way that women care for others, reach out to each other, befriend one another, and you'll catch glimpses of the character of God being shown through them. Then again, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says to Timothy, "I want women to clothe themselves with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God." Now this, he writes, is in opposition to women who adorn themselves outwardly with expensive jewels and gems. The beauty of a woman is not found in outward appearance. The Proverbs remind us that outward beauty is fleeting and vanity. It sounds cliche, but it's what's on the inside that counts. When a woman shows good deeds and a reliance on God's love for her self-worth, it reveals her imago Dei, the image of God in her. Confident in who she is in Christ and doing good deeds out of her love for the Lord rather than being preoccupied with what others see on the outside. You see, God does not need man's approval. He's God. He is good. And his love endures forever. And we can catch glimpses of God's character, this aspect of God's character, through the example of godly women. Do not get wrapped up in being concerned about how others think and feel about them, because their confidence is in Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11 says this, "Be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything." Now, this exhortation is specifically to female deacons, leaders who are in the church, women leaders in the church. When women are trustworthy in everything, careful with their speech, and worthy of respect, which means that they are respected, they're just worthy of the respect that they receive, they show facets of God's character. He is trustworthy. He is worthy of respect. His words are not malicious. If it were not so, Scripture wouldn't exhort women to such character traits. And so women who are the 1 Timothy 3:11 kind of woman reflect the character of God in their lives. Generally speaking, women, whether single, married, or a mother, are created in such a way that they show facets of God's character better than a man does. Those facets of God's character. Women are more likely to have gifts such as hospitality, mercy, empathy. They're generally more tender-hearted than men. They show the softer side of God's love. How could we understand the compassion and mercy and caring, tenderness, love of God if it were not for the fact that these characteristics are woven into the fabric of women. It's not that these characteristics are completely absent in men. It's just that they're more prevalent, easier to see in women. Men are just diamonds cut differently. In the same way, mothers shine a light on certain aspects of God's character differently than other women. It's not that these characteristics are absent in women that are not mothers. They're simply more evident in a mother. In fact, there are characteristics that are encouraged in all of us, but God knew that we would need someone to demonstrate it for us, either in our own mother or in a mother figure in our lives, like a spiritual mom or maybe a mom you adopted as a teenager. There's women in this room who understand what I'm talking about. You've got kids in your life that are not your kids. They're someone else's kids, but they eat at your house and they call you mom. They're not my kids. But they call her mom. It's because there's a longing to have that kind of relationship with a woman, one that is a motherly relationship. I know young men from youth group who had many moms growing up, and I believe that they're richer for it. Proverbs chapter 31 is a classic portion of scripture that speaks of a wife and a mother of noble character. I'm going to read it through to you, but I'm going to read it a little bit differently, as though this were a description of God and his character. So it's a little bit edited. But Proverbs 31, portion of it here. God is worth far more than rubies. We can have full confidence in him and lack nothing of value. He brings good, not harm, all of the days. God provides wool and flax and creates with eager hands. Like the merchant ships, he brings food from afar. He does not sleep. He provides food for his children and is generous with those in his household. Working vigorously, his arms are strong for his tasks. He opens his arms to the poor and extends his hands to the needy. When it snows, he has no fear for his household. All of them are clothed in scarlet. He speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on his tongue. He watches over the affairs of his household, and he does not eat the bread of idleness. Wow, that's a perfect description of God, isn't it? But it's also the description given to a woman and wife, mother of noble character. Why is it that this is the description of a noble woman? Because it's a reflection of God's character. I was kind of surprised, actually, when I removed all the references to wife and mother from that and put in God. There's a couple of verses that don't quite work. But for the most part, that is a description of God. And that's what makes a woman very special, a mother very special, is because she begins to display attributes of God's character, bringing glory to God in who she is. The reason the woman of Proverbs 31 is so highly regarded is because she emulates the character of her Creator. There are aspects of God that we would have a very difficult time understanding if it were not for the example of godly mothers to observe. And for this reason, we can honor mothers today. I hope you've sensed my heart in this message today, and that every person here, whether a man or a woman, would be encouraged in this theme of Mother's Day. More importantly, I hope that you have caught glimpses of God's character, because as much as today is about mothers, it's even so more so about God, his creativity, his character, his uniqueness, his glory. God is good. His love endures forever. And a godly woman in your life, maybe even your mother, has given you a glimpse of God's character. And for that, she is worthy of respect and honor. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. We're going to close in prayer. As I promised, we're going to let you out early so you can beat the rush to the restaurants so that you can take mom for dinner if you're able to do that today. Stand with me if you would. Father, we give you thanks for your goodness, for who you are, for your tremendous love for us. God, this morning we pray that you have been honored first and foremost, even as we have honored women and more specifically mothers in our congregation this morning. God, we lift up your name. We look to your goodness, and we, each of us, desire to emulate your characteristics in our lives. Lord, I pray for the mothers of each person in this place today. We pray your blessing upon her. We pray that she would know that she is loved by you and by her children. That, Lord, we would be able to honor our mothers for the simple fact that you chose her. For the simple fact that she was created in your image. And that as we look at her, glimpses of your character are seen in her. And so we rise up and call her blessed today. We bless your name. Amen. Amen.